Life is short, so dig in deep and be swayed by Leah Love's erotic rhetoric.
Erotic Rhetoric with your host, Leah Love, on Jackalope Radio.
So I am here for you. Life is short, dig in deep, and be swayed by Leah Love's erotic rhetoric. Hello, everyone, my cats and kittens. Welcome to Erotic Rhetoric, episode number 9. I can't even believe that much time has gone by. It does fly by. And guess what this month is? My birthday month. Oh, yeah, baby. And also about March and May, I nickname all months beginning with the letter M, masturbation months. So, ladies, if you haven't masturbated, you need to do so immediately. It is so good for you to masturbate. I don't run into many women who haven't masturbated in their lifetime, even if it's just masturbating in front of their partner. But also keep in mind that everything is not for everybody. But man, ladies, if you are missing out if you don't masturbate. So write me at leah.love.lust@gmail.com. And if you need to know how to do it, I'll give you some starting tips, even if it means explaining some things for you to think about while you're masturbating. So happy Masturbation March. Woot woot. How are you doing tonight, Todd?
I am doing good. What about you?
Good. I know we started a little frazzled, but I've got some good stuff here. So, if you're inclined, please feel free to chip in. And one of the things I'm going to talk about again, and you might not want to chip in on this, but, you know, I just hate Cosmopolitan magazine with such a passion. And I thought about why I hate it. First of all, Cosmo magazine lies to women. Their entire magazine is one big giant fantasy of how they think we want men to think. So I don't mind the fashion and the makeup, that stuff, but the relationship parts, those like sex quizzes, the secret thoughts of men, all of that stuff, it's such BS. And here is, I remember years and years and years ago, so when did Fatal Attraction come out? 1987, something like that. This is why I remember going, this magazine sucks. There was some, and this is also why they suck, two reasons. One, because of they make up these responses from men. And two, they try to work some kind of pop culture reference into the magazine. So at the time, Fatal Attraction had just come out. Glenn Close's hair from that movie was becoming very popular because it was, I guess, you know, very sexy and wild and whatever else. Meanwhile, she was a psycho murderer. Why would her hair be sexy? But this is what happens. So Cosmo does this story about hairdos that men like or what they don't like about the hairdos, whatever it was. It was like four different types of hairdos, and they had like a short pixie cut, and then they had like a long layered do, and then they had the Glenn Close curly hair, and then, you know, some other stupid haircut. And I remember under the Glenn Close curly hair, and by the way, it was a beautiful model modeling this hair, it said, some comments from quote-unquote men. And it just read so false. And I think it's very manipulating, because here's the thing. What if somebody really has that hair? This article was trying to, I guess, encourage women to change their hairstyle. So what if you already have that kind of curly, wild do, right? One of the comments said, and I quote from a man, "Well, this haircut is a little too wild for my tastes and could spell out possibly more than I could handle." What tripe? What man thinks like that about hair? Are you seriously telling me that in a bar, if a guy goes there to pick up a chick, and is he really rating her hair? I mean, listen, I can understand something crazy. A mohawk, half a shaved head, bald, you know, whatever. Something, you know, very, very extreme I could see. But just kind of run-of-the-mill normal, just kind of a style, is that I can't even imagine that a guy would have that in his head. Oh, this haircut is too much for me to handle. Well, then stay away from that guy. So I blame Cosmo for this, because this is the writing of the women editors in a man's voice. This is them trying to write as men. And that, to me, is why this magazine fails. So this is what started me on and my absolute hatred for Cosmopolitan magazine. And I should probably point out that the reason I can really hate it and rant about it for you, the last, you know, this since I've been doing the show, I think maybe once or twice I've commented on it. I did buy a 1-year subscription to it because there was some promotion. I got it. I don't even know how I got it. I don't know if it was from, you know, when you get those magazine promotions. I swear to you, I think I paid $2 and I got a year's worth of Cosmos. And I was thinking, all right, let's see if it's improved at all. Well, let me tell you something. It has not. It hasn't improved since I was a teenager. It's awful. And I think I did the top 10 worst cover stories or whatever, but I'm just going to read you the dull, monotonous way that they present their ideas to women on the stand. Okay. The smile that gets you what you want. That's a cover story. And let me tell you something. When you go in there, inside there'll be like one little corner devoted to that title. Naughty thoughts he has at work. That's a headline on the cover of the magazine. Naughty thoughts he has at work. Isn't that like just completely banal? Like I can't even take it. What else? Go naked. 19 ways to feel instant pleasure. I mean, this is what is you know, women in the know are looking at and deciding that they want to pick this up. I can't even take it. And they have to retread so much stuff. The touch that locks down his love. Oh, really? I'll tell you what that touch is. Put your hands on his penis. Let's see. Try our awesome confidence boosters. I mean, I kind of feel like they need to market to like, well, I guess maybe because I'm getting older, but it just seems like abominable tripe here. When he shouldn't see you naked. Wasn't that a Seinfeld episode already? Like bad naked versus good naked? This is Cosmo in 2012, people. What he when he shouldn't see you naked. Tightening a bike tire? Yeah. Raking the leaves? Yeah. Scrubbing the toilet? We really need an article to tell us this? No, I don't think so. What's another one? 4 words that seduce any man anytime. You know, I'm almost afraid to know what those words are because I probably have them all wrong according to Cosmo magazine. But here's an example of one of the articles that they had in here in this last year. And again, you know, they have like fashion, makeup, whatever. It's not, you know, that stuff is kind of good because they always bring you the latest stuff. But they have something in here, and it's called, they have it after all the fashion. Of course, I just lost the page flipping around here. But it was like 50, oh, he answers your top, you know, questions in under 20 words. Top 50 questions by men in under 20 words. Oh my God, I can't find it. See, now this is just going to ruin my night. Things are not going well for me
today. It's been a night.
It has been a night. But it's just, they make men sound like really insipid. And I kind of, oh, here it is. Guys answer your sex questions in 20 words or less. This is how, would these words ever come out of your mouth? Okay, let's see. This one's in an airplane as a DMV. Okay. Do men like to be spanked? This is a question we're asking men. And the response by a man named KY, that's hilarious. The occasional playful slap is cool, but we'd rather be the spankers. A firm ass grab during sex, though? Awesome. Really? Okay, what's another one? Why do guys in relationships look at porn? To feed our sexual appetite for ideas for masturbation. Someone named Thomas. I guarantee you, I will bet anybody on the planet, I will look through this editorial board of this magazine, and I will say, I want proof that you polled men and that the men have responded to these answers. Because I guarantee you it's the woman editors coming up with responses for the men. And this is my gripe. My gripe is that it creates a fantasy for women that this is really how men think. That they think that our hair is too wild for them. And, oh, maybe we shouldn't wear that hairstyle because we're not going to get that guy down the block. Or, you know, that they're going to answer questions like, and using words like, oh, the occasional playful slap. Really? No. Women are writing this and making us think that this is what men are thinking. It doesn't make any sense to me. So, again, I'm just trashing Cosmo magazine. And the real reason I'm trashing them tonight is because I just want to get rid of these already because I had so many story ideas to use. And I have to tell you something. It's just awful. So I want to trash all of these magazines. So goodbye, Diana Agron from Glee. Well, I love Adele. She's on the cover of December 2011, but she's going. Bye, Adele. Nicki Minaj. See ya. Scarlett Johansson. What is this one? 50 Kinky Sex Moves. Men vote on their favorites. Sorry. Goodbye, Scarlett. And who's this? Oh, Minka Kelly. This is the one where you shrink your inner thighs in 6 minutes a day. Okay. Nope. Bye, Cosmo and Minka Kelly. Those are all I'm going to be very glad to be rid of those. So, and you know what? If you disagree, that's fine. Disagree, send me an email. State your case for Cosmo, why they're great. I would love to hear somebody tell me why I'm an idiot for saying that Cosmo sucks. So write me at leah.love.lust@gmail.com. I am here to answer those questions and to respond to your hate mail, if so. So, you know, and you could send me anything else you want, of course. Love, lusts, comments, problems, encouragements, issues, what have you. And I will try to address them on the show. So I think in the last episode or two, I mentioned an ex-boyfriend of mine, BCB. Now, this I always say anything that I'm going to talk about in my life or at a Fantasia party, whatever, I'm going to call my taking it to the streets. This is really in the streets, this story. In the gutter, actually. Because what I wanted to talk about was not only BCB himself, but balances in your life and things like that. And so one thing I really feel like I need to explain is my story of how I met BCB. And BCB is my ex, I would call him, he's not really a boyfriend, I'm going to say ex-lover. We were together for about a year and a half. And BCB stands for Big Beep Bill. Okay, so you can figure that out. I met this guy on Adult Friend Finder, which is like a casual sex site. I haven't been on there in years. I don't know what's going on in there now, but I will tell you this. I was not interested in a relationship. For whatever reason, I just couldn't find a guy that I felt appreciated me for me, and I just thought it would be much easier because I did have needs. I thought, oh, why not? And I actually had two long-term relationships, sexual relationships, through Adult Friend Finder. One completely normal person and one not so normal, which was BCB, but I'll get to that. But it was kind of interesting because, you know, it was a way for you to put everything out there and not really have to put on airs in terms of, you know, being, I guess you can let it all hang out on that site is what I would say. So I had this back and forth conversation with this guy, Bill, and he said, oh, send me a picture. So I sent him, and I always try to send out what I think is a terrible picture of myself, because then I feel like it's more honest than sending out what I think is a good picture of myself. Because you never look like your best picture, ever. So I always would send out one where I'd go, I wasn't wearing any makeup, or maybe my hair was a little severe, whatever. So I sent him this picture, never heard back. I thought, all right, whatever. So I think, I kid you not, years later, he writes me out of the blue. He's like, oh, I seem to remember we met, you know, on this website. And I said, yes, I sent you a picture. You never wrote back. He's like, oh, is this the picture? Sends me back my own picture like 2.5 years later. I was like, yep, I just figured I wasn't your type. He's like, no, I just started talking to somebody else at the same time and we ended up dating, but that's over, whatever. You interested in meeting up? And I was like, absolutely, because he was really good looking. One, probably in my whole plethora of dating men, I would say he was the number two top good-looking guy. He was really tall, long hair. I love a long-haired, biker-looking dude. Really clean, really nice body, but crazy. So here's the thing. We met up at a coffee house or something, and you know, we're meeting an Adult Friend Finder. There's really no, in terms of sexual tension, there is none, because we know what we're going to do. And I think we had sex that night. I think that we were just sitting there and we were just talking. He was cute. He thought I was cute. I noticed he was hard. I was like, let's go back to my place. And that was that. And I think we had some kind of independent reference or whatever. And we exchanged letters about like STDs and things like that. And of course we used condoms. So always be safe when you're going to do something like that. And we had emailed back and forth for a while. And so I felt pretty, oh wait, did we go back to my place first? Maybe we didn't go back to, well, anyway, what if we did? I'm a bad girl. What do you want? So I think we did. Okay. Now here's the thing. This ended up being, that was exactly what we did at least once a week for the next year and a half, is we would meet, you know, up. Basically he would come to my apartment after 11 p.m. at night and leave by 4:30. And we would have sex for 5 hours. And I mean, not just, you know, intercourse the whole time, but just, it would just be 5 hours of intimacy and being naked and nothing else. But here's the thing about this guy. Meticulously clean, like crazy clean. Took him hours to get ready, which drove me nuts, because he'd be like, oh, getting into the shower at 8 o'clock, but he wouldn't show up until 11:30. What was he doing? Literally, if he shaved and he missed a hair, he would pluck his face. Like, just weird like that. But very clean, so I felt very safe. He could do anything. I could do anything, anything I wanted with him, and vice versa. This guy used to bring post-it notes over to my apartment with notes about what he wanted to do with me, and I think I threw them out when I hooked up with this last partner, my husband, because I wanted to get rid of all of that stuff. But I saved like yellow post-it notes from him for years, because he had like little, and he had this very tiny minute writing. It would be like, Leah on her back with her head hanging off the bed and one ankle next to my neck. I mean, these kind of really detailed like positions. This guy researched sex, he thought about, and he would bring 3 post-its with him of all of these things that we were going to do. And generally, we would do them. And, you know, suffice it to say, obviously, he had nice, you know, all of his male parts were really nice as well. And we had a lot of fun together. So here's what I want to say about that in terms of balancing in your life. It was probably the best sex I ever had in terms of just having a sexual relationship. Of course, when you're in love, sex is always better, or you would hope. But this is all this guy had. Like, he had nothing else to offer me. I didn't care really to go out on dates with him, but I have a very full life. And I remember him trying to push that issue with me, because I would say, oh, I just got back from the aquarium at Coney Island and I did this and I went to the movies and blah, blah, blah. And he was like, oh, well, why can't we do any of that? I'm like, well, because we're not really dating. Like, you're not like dating me, we're just having sex and whatever, it's cool. He's like, well, I'd really love to go to the aquarium. I'm like, yeah, all right, well, you know, we'll make a plan, whatever. Never worked, because he was never on time for anything, because it took him 3.5 hours to get ready, because he's crazy. He didn't have a job, he lives home with his mother. I have no idea how he supported himself, I never asked. So here's another little tidbit about him. I only went to his apartment, I think, 2 or 3 times, because he lived with his mother and she was a chain smoker and the whole place stunk. His room was off limits, but I guess it was his place and his mother, like after his father died, his mother moved in. That's what he told me. But one room, and after, I think our relationship ended. If it didn't end that night, I don't think so, but it should have. But I think probably within a month or two. One night, I went to pick him up at his place, or I went to his place, and I think it was when we were trying to quote unquote date, which was a big, you know, mistake. And he opened up this second bedroom that he had, and it was a room. And when I say wall to wall, I kid you not, of knives, decorative, arty knives and swords hanging on the wall from one end of the room to the other. And I almost keeled over, because part of it was really cool. But here's the thing, you have to look at all the other things about him and the fact that he had this wall of knives. Now, if this was a guy who had a great job and he made a lot of money and lived in a pretty nice house, and you know, he had a Chevy van from like 1985 with a tire holder on the back that says back off with the Tasmanian devil on it, for crying out loud. This guy had a wall of knives. So kind of a normal person living somewhat of a normal traditional life, having a wall of knives, that he's a collector. This guy living with his mother, no job, and like all he thinks about is sex, and like writes down what he wants to do to me on post-its, which at first is kind of interesting and fun that somebody's that into me, but then to have a wall of knives come into the picture, see, that doesn't balance out, right? So here's, it ended up not working. The relationship ended not well, I might add. I really insulted him, I think, because he was kind of a dumbass, and I think I told him that. So it was 1.5 years. I was just sick and tired of it. What's so funny? I was
can't
sick
help
tired
but the whole dumbass thing.
Todd, I'm telling you, I was just got sick and tired of pretending that he wasn't stupid, and he really was. And he didn't even realize. He didn't even have a sense of humor about his own stupidity. Like, nothing about this guy was. He took himself way too seriously, And, you know, I think I'm almost positive what happened was I went back to his apartment for something and he had a waterbed. And I was like, oh, my God, why can't we just be here with the waterbed? And he made some like weird reference about how he can't move the waterbed because like his ex-girlfriend was under it. I swear to God, some stupid joke like that. And it just kind of like hung in the air. So couple that with the wall of knives and the living at home with the mother. And I was like, yeah, I don't, you know what? I think I got to get out. And we really didn't know anything about each other in terms of our personal lives. He never met any of my friends. He didn't know any, I don't even think he knew what I did for a living. Nothing. I mean, maybe he knew about the sex toy thing because of course that was my relationship with him. But, you know, if you look back on some of these sexual relationships that you have, it's always a good idea to learn about what is good for you and what isn't good for you, or what you like and what you don't like, rather than focusing on the negative aspects of it. I will always appreciate BCB because he made me feel really good about my body, and like we had a really good time together, and it pushed my limits in terms of what I was willing to put up with in a relationship in terms of intellect and that kind of stuff. I mean, this guy used to use Dristan in his nose to the point where his doctor said, if you keep using Dristan, your nose is literally going to turn purple and fall off. And that was the only thing we ever fought about because his nose was constantly stuffed up. So he couldn't really kiss properly, which wasn't a huge deal because, you know, I didn't like love him or anything. But he could never kiss properly because his nose was stuffed up, nor could he go downtown normally because he couldn't breathe through his nose. So just weirdness all around. Anyway, so there's my story about BCB. And I'm only bringing it up because I kind of partially referenced him like in an episode. And I just wanted to talk about him because he deserves a talk. I mean, he made me part of the woman that I am. So he deserves a little bit of credit. And you know what? I'm going to encourage people. If you haven't already, if you haven't hooked up for life yet, you need to go out and find just a sexual relationship and make it work for more than 6 months. Because it's really an enjoyable thing. And actually, we're going to go over some more books on Leah Love's bookshelf tonight. And one of the books is actually about that very subject. It's called The Ethical Slut, and we'll talk about that in a minute because, of course, the word slut is timely thanks to Mr. Rush Limbaugh, so we'll get to that later. So I also wanted to mention about last week's episode, my interview with the Dominatrix. I love Miss Teagan, and I just want to thank her again for last week. What an interesting interview. I am fascinated by that whole S&M thing. I dabbled in it, you know, back in probably, late 90s, early aughts, nothing serious. But my interest was piqued back in the 90s when I worked for a literary agent because one of my clients was a dominatrix and she was writing a book about the life and how she got started. And she used to call me at the office because she would send me like pages of the manuscript because we would sign up authors to do lectures at colleges and businesses and, you know, anybody who wanted any of our clients, whatever, would call us and we would, you know, set up an author lecture or a webinar or a seminar, whatever. And we also were a partial literary agent. So I would read a lot of manuscripts. So she would always send me chapters as she finished them. And her and I kind of miss her and I wish I could find her, but I never knew her real name. She went by like Mistress X or something. So, but she was telling me how she got started being a dominatrix. And this why I always wondered if I could do this, like for real, like get paid for it, whatever. She told me that she was thinking about being a dom and she had met some people who were interested in being dominated, men, white men normally. And she was afraid to get started because she didn't want to put herself in a situation where her safety was compromised. And she, I guess some guy that she was going to dominate had offered, said, listen, I'll come to your apartment. I will stand outside of your apartment door. You come out into the hallway and you could chain me in the hallway and then bring me in and you'll be completely safe. And she was like, really? You'll let me do that? And he said, absolutely. So that's what she did. And that's totally how she got started. He came to her door. She came outside of her apartment into the hallway. He held out his arms. She cuffed them. He, you know, she puts chains around his or cuffs around his ankles. And when she was satisfied that she was safe, she brought him in. And it's not about sex, which is what we discussed with Ms. Teagan last week. It's sexual and sensual, but it's not, you know, genitals touching and things like that. It's about control. And this guy, I'm pretty positive, did her laundry while she stood, like, with a boot on his back. Like, that kind of stuff. So I've been fascinated with it for a while, and I would always love to know if that's something that I could do for real. And my next interview, I'm going to try to get an experienced dominatrix. Miss Teagan was wonderful, but she's a relatively new relative newcomer. I would love to try and get a dominatrix who's been doing it for years and years. So I did discuss with Miss Teagan the possibility of, you know, one of the experienced doms coming on. So hopefully that will be a show that will be coming up in the next couple of months. And spring is in the air, so you don't know what's going to happen. It's been wonderful on my part of the country, the Northeast. I think it was 65 today, so that's wonderful. Anyway, I never knew what happened to Mistress X, and I wish her well. I hope she's out there still whipping people or whatever. So also tonight we're going to do some listener email. I have some more. Yay! So I have two letters. And I realized that out of the four letters I've done, including this week and last week, three are from dudes. And I totally love that. So I hope that's a trend that keeps going. But I would also love to hear from the ladies. So here is my letter number one of listener email for tonight. Dear Leah Love, how do I keep sex new and interesting after I move in with my partner? It seems much more difficult to maintain an adventurous sex life when we see each other all the time, day in and day out. Thanks for your help. I'm a big fan of the show. Anonymous in Maryland. Okay. Well, I like this question. But here's the thing. Part of my regular routine during my Fantasia parties is to talk about how sex is different once you get married and have kids, and it does require planning. A lot of women talk to me about that. Oh, we don't have a lot of sex, or we can't. The kids are always around and this and that. I can't empathize because I don't have children, thank goodness, but I can sympathize. But here's the thing. It requires planning because when you're single and dating, carousing around, you can have sex anytime, anywhere with anybody that you want, hopefully. But when you're married with kids, it is subject to schedules, work, responsibilities, you know, driving to soccer practice, whatever it is that you do in your busy day. You know, maybe you have a second job. Maybe you're going to school to try to get another degree, whatever it is. A little extra effort is always needed. So I always recommend to people, this is my standard thing that I say, get your mother-in-law, or your in-law, or find a babysitter. I got to tell you something. My parents went out so much when we were kids. We had like a rotating of four or five different babysitters. They went out and had a good time. And I have to tell you something. I think that made them better people. It made them happier people. And it made my brother, my sister, and I very social. I just wished my old babysitter, who was also my neighbor, her birthday was a few days ago, and I still know her, and she friended me on Facebook for crying out loud. It's a wonderful relationship to have with a babysitter. So if you're married and kids, we can discuss that another time. But right now I'm dealing with Anonymous. But here's the thing. When you move in with somebody, probably in the beginning, it's all sex all the time, and of course that's going to wane. The novelty wears off, perhaps, but that doesn't mean that the quality will. Excuse me, I just needed a drink there. First of all, it'll take effort from both partners that live together. They need to realize, both partners need to realize that they are responsible for keeping things hot and sexy, and it's not just about the quantity at this point. Here's the thing, get out of the apartment. Just because you live together doesn't mean you have to keep it in the apartment. If you have a car, find a place to park and make out or have sex, or, you know, whether it's a, honestly, like I've had sex in the parking lot of Kinko's, and that's pretty pathetic, but there are ways to make this work. Carry a big sweatshirt and sit in the last row of a movie that's been out for a while. You know, when you go to a movie theater and there's nobody else in there, spice it up like that. I know that sounds a little cliched, but you're not in the apartment. Find an old hotel or a motel that has fantasy rooms or jacuzzis, mirrors on the ceiling. I don't know about any of you people, but wherever you are, but in Jersey, there is a like a hookup motel probably around the corner from every neighborhood. I can name five off the top of my head. But also a good thing for this is fantasy role play is a good way to combat the doldrums. And if you've never tried it, you can start really simple. Doesn't have to be like crazy. Don't have to have costumes. I've been known to wear only a trench coat and run into my partner on the street and then just arrive back at the apartment separately. And then kind of, you know, you could pretend that nothing crazy happened, but you were out on the street naked in a trench coat. I've also actually been known to wear just an apron, nothing else and be in the kitchen cooking like a good, you know, wife or partner, like everything's completely normal. But there I am, just buck naked, cooking in an apron, nothing else. But there are ways to sex it up that also don't need to lead to sex that minute. But a couple of things like these over a couple of days until you can have sex could make it hotter. So if you put like a bunch of those things in a row, like kind of plan on, I don't know, meeting him, you know, or her at the door with some kind of a, you know, whether you're naked or have some kind of a sexy outfit on or something like that, or a couple, you know, and then the next day, like, do something in the apron, and then the next day, like, I don't know, do something. But I have a habit of, like, when I get out of the shower, instead of just like doing my regular drying with the towel, I put on like a little bit of a striptease for my partner. So, you know, there's ways to kind of spice that up, things that you haven't done before. So I hope that that helps you a little bit, Anonymous. But I'm going to stand by the get out of the apartment thing or the house. You don't have to stay inside. You live together. You know, you're all together all the time like that. Take it out of the apartment. Make it hot that way. So that was my answer to letter number one. And I have another letter today. And it says, letter number two, Leah Love. I'm a big fan of sex toys in all of their forms, and I have quite a bit of experience with them, but I'm dating someone who has never used them before. We have a fun-filled and exciting sex life, but I'm interested in adding some sex toys into the mix. She's excited to try things out, but she's also nervous and obviously inexperienced. How can I put her at ease? Also, what are some good toys that we can start with that won't be too intimidating? Toy boy. All right, this is interesting. This is a heterosexual male dating a woman, heterosexual woman, obviously, who likes toys. This is interesting because it's normally the females who are all down with the toys and they have to introduce them to the male partners and try not to be, you know, intimidating. So this is interesting. A man who loves sex toys, and I'm guessing all forms, who wants to introduce him to his female partner. So my answer would be very similar to how to introduce toys into a relationship for a female, introducing them to a male. But he didn't, and he also, Toy Boy didn't mention if he was talking about all sex toys or just sex toys for girls or just sex toys for boys, because there are some that are definitely for one or the other. But because he is the Toy Boy, I'll assume that he means both. So as a man, it would probably benefit him to bring in something like a pleasure sleeve that he would use on himself and ask your female partner to use it on you. So Google pleasure sleeve, because I don't know how else to say that without, you know, being in a pro. So a pleasure sleeve is something that a man can use to replace the feeling of a vagina or a hand or a mouth. How's that? So ask her, give it to her, you know, obviously lube it up, give it to her and ask her to use it on you. And because I really feel like if you put the toy in her hand, she'll feel like she's in control. She can then, you know, kind of put it on you, as it were, and kind of fool around with it with you. And then you could work it up to something that vibrates. And again, ask her to use whatever it is on you. And it doesn't, you don't have to have her drag it right to your genitals. Let her put it on you wherever she wants. Let her make her way to your penis and scrotum on her own. You've mentioned that already that you've had a conversation, it sounds like, because your partner's quote-unquote curious. So it leads me to believe you've kind of had a discussion or it's been talked about. So hopefully it's assumed that she will eventually make her way to your penis with a toy and not just kind of hang around your neck and shoulders. Like, I wouldn't want to guide you in this way and then, like, say, have her take, you know, weeks to get to your genitals with the toy. But here's a couple of good suggestions for the toys. So something like a Hitachi wand, that's like that old back, quote-unquote, back massager that the Sharper Image used to have. And many women have used this to reach orgasms, you know, obviously putting the vibrating part in their clitoris. The Hitachi wand is magnificent. And they do now make smaller ones for specific genital play. So it's a very good vibrator to start with for both sexes. So you can hand her that and have her use it all over your body, run it all over your body. And then if you like the vibration on your penis and your scrotum, then you could obviously guide her down there. You could also use that on her. It'll feel wonderful. And then if you want to get a little more concise, you can introduce a bullet and, again, hand it to her and tell her that you want her to tease you with it. It's always a good idea to put your partner in the driver's seat if they're the ones who are less experienced and more intimidated, and then grow it from there. Like, introduce phalluses after that. And always remember, if you're working toward more experienced toys like glass, phalluses or butt plugs, you always want to tread softly and work your way into those. It'll require patience and time, but it might not hurt to introduce some pornography with the use of these toys, moderate use of toys, if your partner's willing. So that's always a good thing. This way she has the visual of somebody else doing it. So that also might be a hot experience for both of you. So thank you very much, Toy Boy, for your letter, and I hope this helps you out some. All right, moving right along to our list of the week. I say our now because Adrian Sterling, my in-house producer, feels a need to inject his wit into my list now every week because he doesn't think mine is that great. But I think mine are hysterical. Thank you. So my list of the week, last week, if you remember, it was the top 10 least sexy nicknames for the penis. And tonight it's going to be the top 10 least sexy nicknames for the vagina or your lady parts, which in itself is an unsexy nickname. And I have to tell you something. I know that I try to focus on sex positive things. I try not to rant too much about the negative. I try to give you information and open your mind. But I really just also am a frustrated comedian actress, so I always have to inject some comedy in there. But I am going to try to work on a sexy nickname list for future episodes. But for right now, we're going to have the top 10 least sexy nicknames for the vagina. And are you with me, Todd?
Yeah, I'm here.
Are you excited about this one? Because you sound it.
Frightened is the word.
Okay, and I can't guarantee that I'm not going to crack up again because some of them are just ridiculous. However, some of them do comment on pop culture as a whole. So here we go. Number 10, tuna. Right?
Yeah.
Yeah. How obviously unsexy, but that's like I've been hearing that since I think I was 10, and that is it's such a negative word. It's really not even that funny because now it just sounds stupid, but it's definitely unsexy. Number 9, Kaslapis. Now, this is a Chelsea Handler reference because that's what she calls it. And even though it's gosh darn funny and hilarious, it is really unsexy. But if you ever saw that show Chelsea lately, she's on the E! Network, at least Eastern Standard Time. I think she's on at 11 p.m. Hilarious. But she very often refers to vaginas as Kaslapis. She also uses Pikachu, I believe, which is not on the list, but she has been known to use Pikachu. So Kaslapis, which I spelled Kaslopis, who even knows? Sounds Greek to me. Number 8, vajayjay. Now, I ranted about this because Cosmo had vajayjay in as part of a cover story, and I believe that Oprah Winfrey made this a popular term. So, A, I believe Oprah on the show said it when she was swinging around in some harness out on like a campground. So there's your vision of, Oprah in a harness saying that her vajayjay hurts. A, how unsexy is that? And B, now it's part of the vernacular, which is insane because it's awful. It's like calling a penis a pee-pee, vajayjay. I hate it. Unsexy. Number 7, this is a personal one of mine because it came out of a really funny Fantasia party that I did. And I think that me and my customer were hysterical for about an hour over this. I don't even know how it happened. But all of a sudden, we started calling our vaginas bacala. And bacala, I believe, if I remember correctly, is some kind of salted fish. So we kept going, hey, bacala. Hey, what's with your bacala? So we had a great time with that. So I had to throw that in there as a little shout out. Number 6, also, I think this is a relatively new one as well. From the show Big Brother, I think one of the contestants started calling vaginas a kebab. What? I mean, first of all, kebab is phallus-like. So it would be, you know, to me, makes more sense to call it a penis. But no, this is true. It's in the Urban Dictionary now. Kebab as a vagina. That's crazy and very unsexy. Although, you know, kebabs are delicious. But I can't imagine calling a kebab in the heat of passion, "Oh, honey, I can't wait to get at your kebab." Yeah, doesn't work. Number five. Now, I've got three different words in here, but they're all kind of variations of the same thing, so bear with me. Roast beef sandwich, deli meat, meat curtains. All right. All kind of a variation of the same thing. All terrible, all descriptive, but very unsexy. So, again, this is how you have to put it in terms of, in the heat of the moment, are you going to say, "I cannot wait to lick your roast beef sandwich"?
Jeez.
I mean, and you know, meat curtains, that's just downright mean, because once women get to a certain age, supposedly that's what happens. I don't know for sure, of course. But, you know, maybe we'll know when we're 75. But again, unsexy, not nice. Number four, snatch. I have nothing. I've been hearing this for years. I know what it means. I don't, it just sounds weird. Snatch. I don't know. Let's move on. Number three, Hoover Dam. Where did this come up from? Where did this come from? Hoover Dam? Boy, somebody must have really had a woman who could ejaculate like far into space to call her that. Number two, actually, this is one of my personal favorites, even though it's unsexy, taco.
Jeez.
So if a penis is a hot dog, a vagina is a taco.
And a bust in the eye. Two.
What's that?
A lot of girls will bust you in the eye if you call it taco.
As they should, Todd, if that's what you call it. Are you telling me that that's what you call female vaginas?
No.
Oh, okay.
I'm giving a fair warning to those fools that might try.
Okay, good. And my number one least sexy nickname for the vagina, bearded clam.
Lord.
I hate that. I hate that so bad. Bearded clam. And the visual. Isn't the visual just awful? First of all, I live by the beach. So
yeah.
I see clams all the time.
Pretty awful, man.
Awful. Okay, so I'm just going to mention some honorable mentions. And these are just ones that I kind of like, you know, tossed around, and they're probably fairly well known, but didn't make it on my particular list. And of course, you can argue with me and write me at leah.love.lust and tell me that my list is bunk. So beaver is in the honorable mention, box, muff, gash, hoo-ha, and your breakfast. Where did your breakfast come from? I've never heard such a thing. Anyway, I thought that was kind of funny. So, but of course, Adrian, the illustrious Adrian Sterling, my in-house producer, gave me his top five. You ready for these, Todd? Because remember, his five from last week were pretty good, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, number five, sausage wallet.
Okay.
See, now, not in every case, though, Adrian. I'm just going to say that. Number four, Billy Goat Gruff? What? What is that? Have you ever heard such a thing, Todd?
No.
Billy Goat Gruff? Like, I have this vision of, like, this... Well, you know what? Okay, if you look at the head of a goat, like, it's kind of triangular, and they've got that little beard, and I could see that. Billy Goat Gruff. Okay, number three, Moose Knuckle. Of course, very appropriate. I usually think that's used to describe if a woman's jeans are too tight in the crotch. Looks like a moose knuckle. But very good one. Number two, red snapper. God, I hate that. I hate that. That I think I'm laughed out, but that definitely is one. I've heard that, and I don't like it at all. Red snapper. Oh, that's awful. And the number one least sexy nickname for the vagina, compliments of my in-house producer, Adrian Sterling, is Whisker Biscuit. Anything with biscuit in it is funny if it's not a biscuit. Anyway, So there is my list of the week. And if, you know, if you don't have enough unsexy nicknames for your vagina, just listen to Erotic Rhetoric.
Yeah. We'll fix you right up.
Oh, okay. So there's my little comedy relief for the week. And we'll move along to books on Leah Love's bookshelf. And I have to tell you something. I've been collecting sex books for a long time. And, you know, I don't have as many as I should probably. But I do like my sex books. And I did work for a publisher, so I was able to collect a lot of books. And one of the books, the top one on my list, which I mentioned before, called The Ethical Slut. It's called A Guide to Infinite Sexual Possibilities by Easton and Lizette. And I'm just going to read the blurb. At last, a comprehensive, no-holds-barred guide for anyone who dreams of having all the sex and love and friendship they want. Here are the skills you need for successful and ethical sluthood, from scheduling dates to handling jealousy, finding partners to resolving conflict, raising children to caring for your health. If you've ever envisioned a universe beyond traditional lifetime monogamy, this is the book for you. And I think that that's a really good blurb because it's kind of See, here's the thing. I think that the title, The Ethical Slut, is misleading in a sense, but very descriptive because they're trying to say that somebody who doesn't really have sexual boundaries in terms of how much sex that they want to have with a bunch of different people. They don't want to be in a monogamous relationship. And this could be, you know, obviously for men and for women. But it is for somebody who wants to look past a life with just one person and have as much wonderful sex as they possibly can have. And I have to tell you something. I'm for this. I have chosen my own path, but I heartily agree that everybody should be able to choose their own path as long as it's consenting adults and it's not, you know, illegal, like in terms of with children or with animals. I think a person can make a decision for themselves about their own sexual life. And this is actually a good book if you want to be able to conduct yourself, but you never really thought about how you could and what was a right and a wrong way. Like, you have to kind of be open with the people that you're having sex with, of course. And this book will help you do that or how to communicate it better. So I highly recommend this book for anybody who's interested in at least even just trying it on for size for a couple of years. And of course, because I sell sex toys, I have to have another sex toy book in here. It's called Sex Toys 101, A Playfully Uninhibited Guide by Venning and Kavanaugh. And they are the founders of Babeland, previously called Toys in Babeland, which is a female-owned and operated sex toy shop, which is where I really got my start. So, of course, I bought their book. And inside, they talk about every single type of sex toy for men, for women. They talk about body parts. This is where I got most of the information that I used for my parties early on so that I could, you know, introduce women to all the wonderful things that there is about sex and sex toys and how many different types there are. Some women want, you know, phalluses that feel like real penises that don't vibrate. Some want just bullets, you know, vibrating on their clitoris. Some want a strap-on with their female partner. Some want, you know, their male partner to wear little cock rings or things like that on them. So, I don't even know if I could say that word. I just got a little carried away. This is a really good introductory book about sex toys called Sex Toys 101, A Playfully Uninhibited Guide, one of my favorites, and dog-eared, of course. And now this is an interesting one. This is called Bound and Gagged, Pornography and the Politics of Fantasy in America. I kind of like the kind of politic sex books where they kind of talk about, they kind of bring like intellectualism into sexuality. I think it's definitely interesting. And here are some of the things it says on the back of the book about the author. She looks at porn and makes you see it through new eyes. Bound and Gagged is fearless, unflinching, and funny. Bound and Gagged is a singularly important contribution to contemporary cultural criticism. Why is it so rare to read an accessible, witty, bracingly intelligent book that takes pornography seriously as a form of cultural expression? Because porn is unique in popular culture, its most vocal critics and commentators are authorized to speak precisely to the extent that they establish themselves as people who do not look at the stuff. Kipnis's work will permanently reset that standard. Her analysis of porn's many aesthetics and varieties, from fat porn to geriatric porn to internet porn to hustler, are not only knowledgeable but startlingly illuminating. For anyone concerned with our collective cultural sense of what it means to be human, Bound and Gagged should be required reading. And this is why I bought this book. And I think I mentioned a book called What is Pornography in my last Leah Loves Bookshelf segment. And that was about, it was a small book about workshops for men who were perhaps addicted to pornography or were with women who don't like pornography. Here's the thing. I think pornography does have its place. That's why I bought this book, because I thought it was an interesting commentary on porn in this society. People feel guilty about watching pornography, or women feel like if men watch it, that I've met women who think they think men are cheating on them by watching pornography. That's not what it is. So if you are a positive pornography person, this is a good book. And if you're not, it's also a good book, because then it'll open your eyes a little bit. So Bound and Gagged by Laura Kipnis is her name. Here's a rather controversial book. This is called The Guide to Getting It On, a new and mostly wonderful book about sex. It's from the Goofy Foot Press. I don't even know if they print this anymore. This came out a really long time ago. But here's the thing. It is a hand-drawn sex manual, is basically what it is. Kind of like, what was that? The best, what was that sex book from the 70s? I always forget the name of it. But this is kind of a play.
Yeah, like I'm going to know that.
I know. I just thought about that. Todd, what was Yoda's third line in movie number 4? No, I'm just kidding. That's more of a question for you.
Yes, yes.
But this talks about every type of sex that there is on the planet. And it has a lot of chapters. Everything is very pithy, very well written. Talks about, and not just traditional stuff, non-traditional stuff, talks about anal sex, which was really important to me many, many years ago because it was, seen as such a controversial sex act. It talks about vibrators, incorporating them into your sex life, which is a really good idea sometimes. And it talks about some pitfalls as well. Talks about health, talks about being a virgin, talks about prostitutes, talks about how Buddhists view sex, karma, all this type of stuff, culture, kink, light bondage, all that kind of stuff. And it's controversial because there's a little funny story. I actually gave this book to my sister and her husband because I got a bunch of copies free from my publisher. I gave it to them, and I kid you not, they kept it in their bookshelf in their living room. And they have teenage kids now. So my nephew was starting to date somebody, and I said, oh, and I went, I pulled the book out of the bookshelf and I handed it to him. And he was 16, I guess. Well, how old is he now? 19? He was 17. My sister saw me give it to him, but was like, what was that? And I said, oh, nothing. She called me the next night. She's like, I'm a little offended that you would give my son that book. I'm like, listen, it was in your bookshelf. It wasn't like I brought it into the house. Anyway, controversial book. I don't want to talk about the fight that I have with my sister. I don't know why I brought it up. But anyway, that was it's very explicit, but it's not pictures. It's like hand-drawn. I thought it would be okay, but it is very explicit. This is a book that a childhood friend gave me. It's called Signs of Sexual Behavior. And why this is interesting, it's an introduction to sex-related vocabulary in American Sign Language. Could you imagine? This is a book. I found it on her shelf. I said, can I have that? So that I could know how to sign sexual acts. But here's why this is important. I bought it, I asked to borrow it for that specific reason. However, this book is also important because it teaches deaf people how they can communicate if something happened to them that was bad. Like if they got raped or somebody molested them or if they had an issue or a problem, they need to be able to know how to sign that stuff. So that's what this book is. So I was fascinated by this. So I learned how to do a few of the moves. So Signs of Sexual Behavior by James Woodward. One of my books. Oh my God. Has that much time gone by? Todd, how much time do we have left?
I think we've got like a minute and a half.
Are you serious?
Time flies when you're having fun.
Oh man, I could really babble, can't I? Well, that's good. It'll leave me a little bit of time to go over some more books in my bookshelf. So I'll just talk about this last one. This is actually a photo book called The Erotic Lives of Women, and it's by Linda Troller and Marion Schneider. And again, because I worked for a publisher, I used to be able to get my hands on a lot of really, really cool books. So here it is. These were the questions or I should say this. There are questions that photographer Linda Troller and writer Marion Schneider asked over 30 women from almost a dozen countries because they believe that women need to share their erotic knowledge and experience. So this book is photographs of the women that they asked the questions of and also their responses. And it's very culturally diverse and interesting from all over the world, women talking about what eroticism is to them and then these kind of beautiful photographs. And they're not necessarily naked in the pictures. Some of them are, of course, and the female form is beautiful in all shapes and sizes and colors. But The Erotic Lives of Women was a book that really opened up my eyes to the fact that women all over the world, women that we might not think are sexual or view things as erotic because perhaps they're in a country that represses them, this book allows them to speak about what they feel is erotic and how eroticism works into their lives. Fascinating, fascinating book. The Erotic Lives of Women by Troller and Schneider. So there's a few more books from Leah Love's bookshelf. But I guess that's it. I don't even have time for sex in the news. I think I'm seriously going to have to do just a whole episode on sex in the news because there's so much stuff out there I haven't gotten to. But that's it for tonight. Another episode is come and gone, my cats and kittens. And always remember to write me at leah.love.lust@gmail.com. As always, thank you for listening. And thanks to my in-house producer, Adrian, of course, and Todd, my Jackalope producer. And until next week, I wish you all a good night and very, very good sex.
And said it wouldn't last forever, and I'm still waiting to get better. Liars, and they're lying to me now. I always knew that I wouldn't fit in, kicked out, but I never caved in. Liars, and I'm dealing with. Done waiting to get better. Life.